following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria Anzoretska, you know, though, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that's just, it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Welcome to another edition of the Doug and Daddy Show as the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth is on the road again today. And today we are at beautiful TD Ameritrade Ballpark in Omaha for the Big Ten Baseball Tournament. Doug Duda, our producer-engineer, Jeff Babel, will be talking with a variety of folks today and keeping you up to date on what's going here. Kind of take you up to our pregame for Nebraska baseball with Greg Sharp, Ben McLaughlin on 1230 AM KHAS, our sister station. They'll get going at 1230, and then first pitch is scheduled for just after 1 o'clock, and there is no television coverage, as maybe you have figured that out by now. The Big Ten Network has elected not to air the first two games today or tomorrow morning's 9 a.m. game, which the loser of the Nebraska-Ohio State game would be in. So if Nebraska loses today, it's all radio for the Husker Sports Network the next couple of days. We can tell you that we are in the top of the seventh inning here, and it's Michigan State 2 and Illinois 1. The two evening games today and then three more games tomorrow will air on the Big Ten Network, and there's already been some folks that have been a little unhappy about that, considering that what's airing on the Big Ten Network now is the 2010 Michigan-Notre Dame game. One of these days, when we get a Big Ten official on, I have to ask that. I mean, yes, there are production costs, but if you're already here, you're set up, and you're going to do all these games anyway, flip the camera switch on and put it on Channel 425, the Big Ten Network, or whatever it is, U610, if you're Dish, and a variety of different subscribers throughout Nebraska to watch the games. But it is kind of funny that Nebraska won't be on today, and the first two games of the Big Ten tournament won't be on. I don't remember that being that way in the past, but just kind of came as a little bit of a surprise, so that's the situation there. Dan Hoppen of Husker Online will join us. We had a chance to catch up with him earlier in the week, and we'll bring that to you today, talking about the Big Ten baseball tournament. Minnesota plays the last game of the tournament's first round tonight against Michigan, and we will talk with the starting pitcher for Minnesota, Alec Crawford, on today's Doug and Daddy Show. He's scheduled to come in before the bottom of the hour, and in just a moment, we'll talk with our Loper Link. It's Wednesday. UNK's Brady Bonsall is going to join us as they are at the D2 Outdoor Track and Field Championships, and we will have some other guests as well. Nebraska softball gets ready for the NCAA Super Regionals tomorrow at Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Nate Rohr, we will talk with him on either today or tomorrow's Doug and Daddy Show, and just a lot more guests as we get closer to state track, state tennis. It's all going on. Soccer wrapped up last night. Baseball, Grand Island fell behind in the first inning, and then after that played Westside, the number one team in the state, pretty well, but from what Coach Kisick said and from what you could see and from what you could read and listen to, boy, Westside is the real deal, people. They are a great, great baseball team. And then Norris gets beat in Class B last night, so who knows who the best baseball team in the state of Nebraska is. But Grand Island's still alive. They'll have to come back in the loser's bracket, and we'll talk more about that here in a little bit. But right now it is time for our Loper Link, brought to you each and every Wednesday by our friends at CharterWest National Bank of Kearney. You have the reasons, they have the loans. See Russ Smith today at CharterWest National Bank. And we are joined by the head track coach and cross-country coach, Brady Bonzel, as they get ready for the D2 Outdoors up in Allendale, Michigan. That's where the golf's also going on. Coach, good morning. Thanks for the time. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Well, hey, it's a beautiful day here in Omaha. What's it like up there? What are our conditions going to be for the D2 Outdoors in Michigan?
Right now, it's kind of muggy. We got some rain last night. I think the humidity was pretty high today, but I think it's going to be, from what I've seen, a lot of 70 degrees and 5 to 10 mile an hour winds, so it should be weather that's good for every event.
Now, is this another spring festival, Brady? Is that the deal?
No, it just, in fact, this meet was originally supposed to be hosted by St. Augustine's in Raleigh, North Carolina, and because of a facility situation back in the fall, they made an announcement that they were moving it to Grand Valley, and the golf tournament happened to already be here, so it's just kind of coincidence that golf and track are in the same place. Track will be back here again next year as well.
Well, Grand Valley State, obviously, we talk about them quite a bit at UNK and in the powerhouse that they are in the Division II level, but not necessarily their conference maybe up there when it comes to track and field. We know a lot about the MIAA and the old RMAC with a lot of great teams. Before we get to the big picture, let's talk about your team. Since we last chatted, you've been to the MIAAs, you went through your last chance meet, you have six men and two women that are accompanying you up at the D2 Nationals, but a very impressive showing by especially your men in the conference championships.
Yeah, we were really pleased with how our men did. You know, we went into the conference indoor meet and really had a legitimate shot to win that meet, and we're close. We were third, but only 15 points out of first. As we moved outdoors, you know, it just there were a couple teams that benefited from, you know, Pitt State in particular really moved up and benefited from the events that they have outdoors. Central Missouri's got a good young team. They had redshirted some guys indoors. And so we really we knew we were somewhere between, probably we kind of told the team somewhere between third and sixth. There's so much. It's such a balanced league that there wasn't a whole lot of difference between them. And really the first, you know, Pitt State winning it and Central Missouri in second and then the host Lincoln University in third, all three of those teams scored what we had projected them to score. It's just our guys scored 30 points more than we really had anticipated. So it wasn't a deal where other teams flipped up or anything like that. It's just our men had a really good meet. And the women had a very solid, I mean, just to show the balance in the league, I think going into the women's 4x4, we could have finished anywhere from, I think it was 5th to 10th in the final team standing just based on what the outcome of the 4x4 would be. I think there were about five teams that were all within 3 points of each other going into the last event. So just a lot of balance. One of the things we noticed even when we had scored prior to the meet on the men's side, how just based on the conference rankings going in, now, there wasn't a men's team projected to score less than 50 points. So, in other words, you knew it was a lot of track meets, and you see the team that wins it and see a bunch of teams in the middle. But, you know, there's always that team or two that only scores 10 points or 5 points or something like that, and there just isn't a program like that in the conference. Just every program is actually good.
Brady, you mentioned scoring a few more points than you anticipated. Who was maybe the main factor in that? Where were the events that popped a little better than you had predicted?
You know, that was primarily in the distance events, yeah, to be honest with you. You know, I think we were, the distance guys, I had told them that just based on the rankings going in, that they were supposed to be the distance crew that was the fourth best distance crew in the conference, and they were going to score about 30 points from the 800 up through the 10K, and that there were other teams anywhere, you know, teams scoring anywhere from about 25 to 40, and we were supposed to be in the low 30s, and that crew ended up scoring a little over 60 points. So really, as you look at the extra 30 points we scored, it was mostly there. But, you know, for the field events to go in, field events can be really a funny business in terms of you might be ranked somewhere, but there's no guarantee you're going to get those points, you know. And I just thought, compared to, again, year two versus year one in the conference, I thought on the field event side, we just did such a better job than maybe what we did in year one. You know, when we were in the RMAC conference, as long as you've had a solid performance, as long as you were near your seasonal best in your event, you were going to move up the list. So if you went in seated fifth and you just threw or jumped as well as you had done during the season, you might get second. And that just, it's not that way in the MIAA. You have to hit a seasonal best at the conference meet to hold your position in most cases. And just because so many people are going to have their season best at conference, you know, just from the other teams. So I think understanding that and just responding to that, just that high level of competition, I really saw that with our field event people this year, both indoors and outdoors.
We're talking with Brady Bonzel, head coach, UNK track and cross country programs. The D2 National Championships get underway tomorrow in Allendale, Michigan. You've qualified six men, Brady, but none of them have marks right now that would, if everything would just play out the same, would put them into the top eight. So what are we looking at here? This seems to be, if memory serves me right, a little bit different. You always have one or two guys that have popped something pretty big. What's your take getting ready for the guys this week?
I didn't even realize that until you said it. So I think that was similar to last year. We actually, you know, if you look at the last year's outdoor national meet, we took 10 total people, and I think we walked away with one All-American. This year indoors, we took 11 total people, and we walked away with five All-Americans and two others that missed it by one spot. And so I think a lot of times, just the difference between the two, probably the difference between last year's outdoor meet, this year's indoor meet, not a huge difference, but yet we walked away probably a lot happier from the one than the other. It's just such a fine line between, you know, being in the top eight and not. When they increased the field sizes here a year ago, they took the minimum field size in each event from 16 to 20. That doesn't, you know, one of our newer coaches asked me, you know, did you feel like compared to other years that watered down the field? And I said no, because there's 30, 35 people in every event who are capable of being in the top eight, and only 20 get to be here. So when they increased the field size, all you just did was add more people who are capable of being up there. So, you know, Paul Pape, I think, is ranked 19th in the 800 for us. The guy is a three-time All-American. He's been in the finals at the Outdoor National Meet before. I look at the list, and like I told him, I see a bunch of guys that you've beaten before, but, you know, those same guys have also beaten you at times. And so it's just a matter of how you run that day. So I guess I don't look a whole lot at where they're ranked going in, because honestly, every event's maybe got two or three superstars, but the difference between 5th and 20th is pretty negligible.
You've got a couple of guys that have qualified in two events, and Dylan and Michael. Talk about, for Michael, they're two weight events. For Dylan, he's in the decath and then makes the 110 hurdles.
Yeah, we were really pleased. His final in the high hurdles from the conference meet for Dylan qualified him. And doing that does not, you know, the decathlon is probably the, if we had to pick one or the other, the decathlon is the big event for him. And he'll be done on Saturday early afternoon, and then that evening he'll have a hurdle prelim. And so that'll be hard to do coming back out off the decathlon, but hey, you jump in and see how you can do with it. And then Michael has been a national qualifier in the shot put before. He was at this meet last year. He placed at the indoor national meet this year in the shot, and the hammer's a new one for him. And he had told me, I've known Michael a long time. I was actually an eighth grade math teacher, like, you know, 25 years ago or so. And he had told me how he really planned on being here in the hammer, and told me what his goals were for the year, and they were pretty lofty goals. And I thought, geez, if he actually does that, that'll be pretty awesome. And he, I don't know if he's quite met the mark that he had hoped to hit, but in terms of qualifying for nationals and being here, he's here. He's dealing with a little bit of a hand injury, which hopefully won't hurt him in the shot. I don't think it will, but it is something that he's dealing with right now.
Another minute here with Brady Bonzel from the D2 National Outdoor Track and Field Championships. The Lopers have two ladies, and we've mentioned their names numerous times. They're sitting in a spot right now to possibly bring home All-American honors. Jackie Zemke, and then Marissa currently has the school record in the 800 meters. Plus, she's one of those nominees for the Ken Jones Award, which is one of the top awards in the MIAA. Each institution has one athlete, and she represents the UNK women. So you got a couple of really good ones there that could do some special things here. Maybe we talk more instead of All-American, we talk about maybe national championships. Is there a chance there?
I don't know. You know, they're both dealing with a little bit of injuries right now. Jackie, I know, has looked great in practice the last week. Just very dynamic, very explosive. Marissa had been dealing with an Achilles injury ever since our home meet back at the beginning of April, and coming off the conference meet, that actually is quite a bit worse. So you know, it's a tough deal for her right now that she, you know, she's not able to do what we would normally do in preparation for this. You know, last week I think we spent four straight days just pool and bike. The last couple days we've run just a little bit on the track, basically warmed up just a little bit and try to get her to the line as healthy as we can. Now, if there's somebody who could do that and still perform pretty well, it'd probably be her, just because in her development as an athlete, this same injury, she had it a couple years ago as a sophomore, and over the summer she spent two months only cross-training, not doing any running at all, and then came out, and that's when she took her big jump forward and became an All-American, and everything was coming off of that summer. So she's very familiar with needing to train that way. It's not the ideal. But, you know, we just are looking ahead to prelims for both of them and trying to get into the finals.
Finally, Brady, as this will put a wrap on the season, everybody you're taking is an upperclassman, junior or senior. And as we said, we've known some of these names, and maybe there's a couple of kids that did some great things early in their career that weren't able to make it to nationals. Kind of give us a wrap on the seniors, and then maybe what you've got coming back, how excited you are about maybe freshmen or sophomores that have performed well for you.
You know, some of the people who maybe didn't make it here, who have performed really well this year and have a chance to be here at some point, Brooke Frederick, you know, she missed it by one spot outdoors and missed qualifying by two spots indoors in the pole vault. So she right away her freshman year came very, very close a couple times and didn't quite get in. You know, Liz Damon, who will be back next year as a fifth-year senior, missed it by one spot indoors in the mile and was relatively close in the 1500 outdoors. And then Stephanie Hutzel, who's always been a 400-meter runner for us, she moved up and ran the 800 a little bit during the outdoor season, and she missed qualifying. You know, to run 2:11 and not qualify is pretty good, but she missed qualifying by two spots. So those are some that kind of stand out. But, you know, when you talk, it is nice when you have the freshman or the sophomore that qualifies for nationals, but I think having a lot of juniors and seniors at nationals for us is just indicative of who we have to be as a track program, but who we probably also have to be as an athletic department in terms of being that, you know, doing what we can with what we have, whether that's facility-wise, scholarship-wise, operating, but whatever it is, and knowing that you want to take that developmental athlete, not the person, you know, not that they were bad coming out of high school, but not a national qualifier. You know, we don't have very many people that come in as freshmen on our program who are already ready-made All-Americans. It almost never happens. And so it has to be that person who puts in their work and develops over time and, you know, just as they get to their third year, fourth year, maybe fifth year, are qualifying for nationals as a junior and senior. I just think that's who we have to be willing to embrace that's our identity as a program and as an athletic department. And then when you get the occasional person who's a superstar as a freshman, that's great. But just understanding that it's a process.
Well, Coach, hey, we wish you guys, as always, the best of luck up there this weekend in Michigan, and hopefully everybody pops their best and you bring back some All-American honors. Best of luck.
Yeah, thank you. We'll get everywhere on time. I was a little worried about you here about an hour ago. I was sitting there, and 11:05 rolled around. You guys still hadn't called for this interview, and then it hit me. It's only 10:05 back in Nebraska, so hopefully we can get everybody to the starting line on time and then just perform to the best of their ability.
I never change my watch, but, you know, all this automation and smartphones now do that for us. So, hey, Brady, as always, thanks for the time, buddy. Best of luck.
All right, thanks. Bye.
Take care. Brady Bonzel, head coach of the UNK track and field and cross-country teams who continue to get better and better every single season. That's part of our Loper Link today. Also want to let you know, we mentioned that Bongers was one of the finalists, 21 nominees, I guess, for the Ken Jodes Award, which has been handed out by the MIAA for 21 years. She represents the women. It's Mike Dettlinger that represents on the men's side. Also, some other stories. Recapping the week for the Lopers, UNK baseball team placed two players on the All-Central Region team from the National Collegiate Baseball Writers Association. Sophomore right fielder Anthony Pacheco, who was first-team All-Conference, is on the first team, and junior Danny Droll is on the second team as a utility player. Then the American Baseball Coaches Association had Pacheco on the second team with their choices. Also, UNK losing Tyler Shields from the men's basketball program. He's decided to transfer after playing in 28 games, starting 13. He was the team's leader in three-point attempts and makes, averaged about 9.5 points, 3.5 rebounds a game in 23 minutes of action. Senior wrestler Mark Fiala named to the Academic All-District at-large team. And, of course, we've got to tell you about Michael Colgate at the D2 Men's Golf Championship. Colgate started with a 4-over par 75. That was 4 bogeys on his round. And then yesterday, 4 bogeys, his only birdie of the tournament. And he shot 74 after the 75. So he was 7-over, 7 back going into the final round. He has just teed off here in his third round of the tournament. He has parred the first hole. So right now he is tied for 21st, currently at 7-over par with, of course, the leaders to tee off about an hour, a little bit more than an hour away in the NCAA Division II Golf Championships. And that is our UNK Loper Link that you hear every Wednesday here on the Doug and Daddy Show. And it's brought to you, as always, by Russ Smith at Charter West National Bank of Kearney. They offer all types of loans, from FHA, VA, RD, and conventional home loans. And for seniors, the reverse mortgage loan. You have the reasons, they have the loans at Charter West National Bank. Coming up, we'll talk with Minnesota starting pitcher Alec Crawford, third team all Big Ten. He's been on a roll. He gets the start against Michigan at the Big Ten tournament. We'll also talk with Dan Hoppen of Husker Online, live from TD Ameritrade, where we go to the bottom of the eighth. It's Michigan State 2 and Illinois 1. We're back on ESPN Radio after this.
This week, the Kansas City Royals wrap up their homestand against the Chicago White Sox. Now, I'm not saying that the White Sox aren't going to get a hit in this series, but with Jerod Dyson patrolling the outfield, it's really tough.
Swung on, line drive, base hit up the middle. Dyson's coming on and takes the base hit away with a diving catch. Oh, what a play by Jerod Dyson on a sinking line drive.
It's the Royals and the White Sox. Pregame show set for 6:30 with the first pitch at 7:10, and it's on the Breeze, 94.5. Be Royal, Kansas City. Be Royal.
Come on in, let the games begin.
Hi, this is Jeremy from HK Sports Bar and Grill. Or you can call it Hastings Kino. You can call it plain Kino. My point is this. We aren't just your daddy's Kino parlor anymore. We're a new restaurant. I mean, the building's in the same place, but it's a new restaurant. The faces are different. The menu is different. Atmosphere is different. Everything's different. It is a new restaurant. If you haven't been here lately, you haven't been here.
Come on in. Let the games begin.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options, but which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Here's your Weather Eye forecast powered by Weatherology.com. Mostly sunny skies and breezy winds today. Highs top out near 79 degrees. Winds northeasterly 10 to 25 miles per hour. I'm Phil Jensko. Right now it's 66.
Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. I had a couple more notes here for you on our Loper link that I do want to pass along to you. With UNK Men's Golf, both Michael Colgate and Lance Lawson were selected to the Ping All-Central Region team today. Lawson paced UNK in stroke average, and of course Colgate becomes the first Division II men's finalist for the Lopers. And also UNK will be looking for a new assistant women's basketball coach. Maya Johnson has been named the new assistant at the College of Charleston. Johnson joins the Cougar family after spending the last four seasons as a top assistant at UNK with head coach Kevin Chaney. Prior to her time with the Lopers, Johnson worked as an assistant in the prep ranks up in Minneapolis, Minnesota, as well as her alma mater. She was at De La Salle and at North High. So Coach Kevin Chaney will be looking for a new assistant coach, and those were a couple of other Loper nuggets to bring to you on this Wednesday. We take a look at the scoreboard here in Michigan State. As we said, as we'll look at our Midtown Mark Cooler question, because the majority of folks picked them as the team that had the best chance of winning the Big Ten tournament of the lower seeds. 38% took Michigan State, 25% Ohio State and Michigan, and 13% took Minnesota. Our Midtown Mark Cooler question brought to you by Midtown Mark of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and the coolest topics. You can vote every day at ESPNSuperstation.com. Illinois did not throw their freshman All-American from last year in today's game, and it means that if Nebraska would get beat by Ohio State today, they would face the young man that beat them in Lincoln last week in that 5-1 decision. Illinois seems to be playing the better baseball game, but Michigan State was able to push across the go-ahead run on the top of the fifth. They got a man on, then trying to bunt him over to second. The pitcher had his foot give out trying to plant, picking up the bunt, so you had first and second, nobody out. Then the next player or next batter bunted towards third, and he's kind of in no man's land. Do I cover the bag? Well, he was playing a little too deep. It was a perfect bunt. It was an infield hit. It left the bases loaded, but it allowed Michigan State to score on a double play ball that gave them the 2-1 lead. So Michigan State 2 and Illinois 1. And that is your score here as we go to the top of the ninth of Game 1 of the Big Ten Baseball Tournament. As we said, Dan Hoppett of Husker Online will join us a little bit later on in the program. We also expect to talk to Alec Crawford, the starting pitcher for Minnesota tonight, as they take on Michigan in the final game. Then Indiana and Iowa, they are the 8 o'clock game. So Nebraska, Ohio State, they plan to go with a first pitch at 1 o'clock. And the 5 o'clock game, Indiana, Iowa, 9 o'clock tonight, Minnesota and Michigan. But right now, unless this thing goes extra innings, they're moving along at a fairly good pace here in the Michigan State-Illinois game, meaning that Nebraska and Ohio State, if Illinois doesn't score in the bottom of the ninth, will get started on time, and we'll have the pregame at 12:30 on 12:30 a.m. KHAS. The Big Ten awards came out yesterday. Pat Kelly, Michael Pritchard, Chance Sinclair, they are the all Big Ten award winners. It is Nebraska's first starting pitcher to be named all conference since Johnny Dorn in 2008, Grand Island's own. Johnny Dorn was the last Nebraska pitcher to be named all Big Ten first team. Second team, Christian DeLeon and Blake Headley, Zach Hirsch. The third team, Ryan Bolt, all freshman team for the Huskers, who will face Ohio State's Tanner Tully, who was named the Big Ten Freshman of the Year yesterday. As we said, there was some American Legion baseball that got underway last night, and it was exciting right off the get-go between Kearney and Hastings in the juniors game. It was Kearney post 52 scoring 6 runs in the top of the 7th to beat Hastings by a score of 11-9, and then Kearney Runza also won the senior game by a score of 5-3, and congratulations to our co-host Jim Langan. His boy Chris picked up the win, his first, of course, of the season. And so Kearney is currently 1-0, Hastings 0-1, and they'll be trying to bounce back with some games later on. For Kearney High, American Legion, Post 52, and Runza, they have games scheduled against Norfolk, but their game Saturday, that's Sunday, their game Saturday against Pius and next Tuesday with Grand Island have been canceled because those teams are still competing in the state baseball tournament. So lot going on, and with action going on in the state baseball tournament, obviously the teams haven't even had a chance to roll things over and maybe get to tryouts, which they have in Grand Island between sessions, and we will be talking more about that as the state baseball tournament continues in Class B here in Omaha and in Class A down at Haymarket Park in Lincoln. We'll take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show, and then we'll talk with Minnesota starting pitcher Alec Crawford here from TD Ameritrade Park and the Big Ten Baseball Tournament on ESPN Radio after this.
Assisted living. Is it about help with the daily needs of living or about getting more out of life? Is it about the services offered or the spirit in which help is given? At Good Samaritan Society Hastings Village, the difference is in a philosophy that everyone deserves to feel loved and valued. In fact, it's a lot more than assisted living. It's a little help from your friends. For more information on assisted living, give us a call at Good Samaritan Society Hastings Village or find us on the web at good-sam.com.
Purchase a membership to the Hastings Museum and feed the family dinner for free. June 3rd is membership celebration at the Hastings Museum, and you're invited with a renewal or new membership purchase. Members will also be the first to see the new summer exhibit, Cruise in the Fossil Freeway for free. And members have the opportunity to buy tickets early to Mysteries of the Unseen World 3D, the new film for this summer. Members also receive discounts on summer fun classes for the kids. More information at hastingsmuseum.org. Life up close.
When my husband turned 30, I didn't think much of it. I know men start to lose testosterone levels after 30. I just wasn't sure what that meant. Now I do. He gained weight, became moody, depressed, made excuses all the time to not have to do anything physical. It even got to the point where he never wanted to be romantic. A friend of mine told me about ManCore from Complete Nutrition, so I picked up some for my husband. He started using ManCore a little over a month ago. He's becoming himself again. He's lost 10 pounds, got his spark back, and is in much better moods. He's back to being the guy I fell in love with. If the man in your life isn't what he used to be, it could be low testosterone levels. It happens to all men. ManCore is specifically formulated for men over 30. It helped my husband. It can help yours too. ManCore from Complete Nutrition.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island just north of Gordman's off Highway 281 and in Kearney just north of Sun Mart on 2nd Avenue.
Complete Nutrition.
Are you tired of electric pivot hassles with gearboxes, micro switches, unexpected repairs, and safety concerns? Only T&L Pivot Systems use safe, proven hydrostatic drive technology that eliminates these hassles. Get lasting value and decades of dependability. Call your T&L dealer or visit T&L's website today. T&Ls are easier on you and use proven hydraulic technology that works.
It's a fact. Somebody recently purchased nearly $5,000 worth of Pella brand quality windows and paid only 35% of retail because they logged on to shopwheelerdealer.com. You can save that much too on Pella brand windows and doors. Just a fraction of retail. Just a click away on the Pella window and door link on the left side of shopwheelerdealer.com's front page. Now, instant 65% savings on attractive and durable Pella products. Check it out anytime at ShopWheelerDealer.com.
Doug and Daddy Show live from TD Ameritrade in Omaha, the Big Ten Baseball Tournament. The opening game here in the ninth inning. Michigan State is trying to scratch across an insurance run. They've got two on with the one out, and Cam Gibson, who led off the game with a solo home run to right field, is at the plate. It's Michigan State 2, Illinois 1 in the top of the ninth. The Illini, of course, will still get a crack at it. We're here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Andy from Midway going to join us here as well back in studio before the top of the hour. And then Nebraska baseball, 12:30 pregame, first pitch estimated at 105, and we'll have that on our sister station, 1230 AM KHAS. Then later today, it's Indiana and Iowa at 5, and getting the late night call tonight is Minnesota and Michigan, and getting the start will be Alec Crawford. He's been the first man of the rotation all conference season long, and since there's nothing else to do today, he's given us some time on the Doug and Daddy Show. Alec, thanks for the time. How you doing?
Not a problem. Doing well.
Hey, we were talking about this beforehand. You guys probably haven't had to run into a situation like this all year long where you're just waiting around to play baseball.
No, we've had a couple late games. Last week at Indiana, we started at 8. That's probably the latest. Something similar to that, but, I mean, not like 9 o'clock, getting done probably around midnight, 1 o'clock tonight. It'll be a late night, quick turnaround for tomorrow.
Well, you're the big man on campus right now after that performance against Indiana last week, pitcher of the week, and you get the start here today. Just kind of your feelings, kind of a big week. You knock off the conference champs, and you get to play here and get the first start at the home of the College World Series.
Yeah, it was fun. Indiana's a great team. They can hit the ball. They can pitch. They got some good hitters in that lineup, and obviously their staff is really good as well. It was just a good statement win by us, knowing we can hang with them and beat them in the late innings like that. It was a good win for our program and give us a little momentum coming into the tourney, even though we kind of dropped the last two.
One of the interesting stats I found, Alec, was that you guys, on the Friday night or the first game of every conference series, you guys won this year, except for Nebraska, and yep. we thank you for that one. But, I mean, when you get off to a good start each and every series, that should propel a little confidence for you guys.
Yeah, it's always good to set the tone for the series and get it off with a win, knowing that it only takes one more to take a series. And if you get that Saturday game or the doubleheader, I mean, we played so many doubleheaders with the rainouts and stuff. But that second game, too, you have a chance to sweep the series, and that's always a big thing in the Big Ten. It's so close. So, yeah, getting off those first couple games is crucial.
Well, you guys took 2 of 3 from Michigan when you played them earlier this year on the road. Now, the Friday night game or the first game went extra innings, so you weren't around for the decision. But give us your scouting report on Michigan.
Michigan's a great team. They're gonna battle you for 9 innings. They're gonna come out ready to play, and we need to match that. They're gonna come out and be intense. They got great people in the great spots. They got leadoff hitters really good right now. He's hot, swinging a hot bat, as well as the middle of their lineup guys, and the bottom of the order is no slouch either. They're good too, so it's gonna be a full-fledged battle, and it'll be fun.
We're talking with the starting pitcher of tonight's Minnesota Golden Gopher game against the Michigan Wolverines, and Alec Crawford, third team All Big Ten, named the conference pitcher of the week this week. Some great accolades, but I guess if you listen to the experts, there's only one thing Minnesota can do to keep their season alive after this weekend, and that's to come out and win this tournament. What's the talk been? Has that even been brought up? Is there a certain approach the coaches have made to you? What's it been like?
Not really. We're just kind of taking one game at a time. We know we have to win the tournament to get in. That's not really a secret. We're just trying to take one game at a time, focus on Michigan, and see what we can do there, and if we can win that, we just keep moving on one game at a time. It's kind of been the approach the coaches have set all week long and all day long yesterday and today.
What's it like playing for a legendary coach?
It's awesome. He's great. He's always been great to me. I know I came in as a junior college player, so I've only had 2 years with him, and those 2 years have been great. He's taught me a lot, as well as the coaching staff, Rob and T.O., they're great. They're just, they help me out a lot, and not only with baseball, but with the personal life, too. They teach you how to be a great man, too, and their character is above and beyond anything I would have ever imagined coming in. So they're great people, and it's been a pleasure playing for them and getting to wear that Minnesota uniform.
We think it's cold here in Nebraska. It seems to be that way. Weather's a problem in the Big Ten all the time, but what's it like playing in Minnesota? I know there's a lot of fans up there, but there's no dome anymore.
No, it was a struggle this year. It was a bad winter. Not necessarily the snow, but just the bitter cold, playing every day and that. It's tough to practice. We had to practice indoor in a football facility just because the domes was being torn down. But, no, it was fun. I mean, battling through those conditions makes a day like today a lot better, you know. 60 and sunny is a lot better than 40 and rainy.
Yeah.
So you get a day like today, it's 85, going to be 85, I think, today and sunny, and you really can't complain. It's kind of like perfect for us. So,
we're talking with Minnesota starting pitcher Alec Crawford here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug Gutta with you live from TD Ameritrade Ballpark. They play the last game tonight against Michigan. You guys are a pretty darn good baseball team. You went down to Florida State. Great job to get that scheduled for a non-conference during the bye week. And every game, the first two games were a battle, but what was that like?
It was fun playing in an environment like that. I've never played in front of that, and it was awesome. Their fans are nuts, and they're a number 4-ranked team in the nation, so they're a really good team up and down that lineup, and their pitching staff is great, well-coached, legendary coach as well. But, no, it was fun trying to squeak a couple out of there. Unfortunately, we kind of let a couple slide by. I thought we could have had two. But Ben Meyer pitched a great game on the second Saturday game as well. So tribute to him. And unfortunately, that last game, we were just kind of tired, and all the energy from the first one-run games, it was a tough one. But it was fun playing in front of that crowd and just get to experience that. Something unreal, and not many people get to.
As you sit here, and you'll watch more baseball today, but you sit here at TD Ameritrade, and if you watch the College World Series, they talk about there's not a lot of runs scored. The ball doesn't fly out. There was a home run today, but then you sit here, you watch where the outfielders are positioned. It's 2-1 here in the bottom of the ninth. Michigan State out away from winning this. Does that change the way you pitch at all?
Not really. We've always had the philosophy of just attack hitters, throw strikes, and make them put it in play and let the defense work. And I think our defense has worked all year, and I think that's a philosophy with these new bats. There's not a lot of home runs, and these dimensions are pretty big with 335, 48 in center. And it's just, you know, put it in play and hope they get a fly ball that's not going to go to the lines, something in the gap or to center if you get a fly ball. And ground balls are always good. So it's kind of just attack with a fastball and try to make them hit them on the ground.
What's the future have in store for Alec Crawford?
Hopefully I'll get a chance to play professional baseball. Right now, I don't know yet or what's going to happen with that, but hopefully that'll happen. But I just graduated with a degree in marketing and sport management, so I have that to fall back on if baseball doesn't work out. Pretty excited about either option. So,
are you hearing anything from the scouts?
Yeah, I'm hearing a little bit. Not too much here and there. Just kind of trying to focus on Minnesota and what I can do to help the team win right now. That's my priority and more important to me than the draft, just because of the presence and just being in the present moment. So trying to focus on what I can do to help the team win tonight and this week. So,
what's it take to get that offense going tonight?
I don't know. I hope we can take a solid BP and just come out and attack the fastball. I think they got a lefty going, so we'll see how we can approach that and see if we can hit the ball hard. I think if we hit the ball hard, we'll be fine. Find some holes, so I think we'll be okay.
Last question, then we'll let you get out of here. What was your first impression when you walked into the stadium and then saw the ball field today?
Oh, it's magnificent. Stadium is beautiful. The surrounding area is beautiful as well. Getting a chance to practice on it last night for about an hour was nice. The field playing surface is incomparable to Target Field. I mean, we played there last year, mm-hmm. So it's beautiful. Love it. Obviously, the home of the College World Series, so there's a certain aura about that. And excited to get a chance to pitch out there and in front of the fans and hopefully put on a good show.
And the real last question is there anybody, whether it's at the collegiate level or somebody you watch in the pros, that you try to mirror your pitching style or you maybe learn something from?
Not really. I try to watch a lot of baseball, a lot of games, and just focus on pitchers who throw their fastball for strikes and try to locate their fastball and then pitch off that. You establish a fastball, it makes it easier for you throw a breaking ball over or change up over and get them off balance a little bit. So I don't know if there's any one particular person. I just try to focus on kind of the premier guys that can establish a fastball. Maybe they don't have that 95, 96 velocity, but that 90, 92 velocity, but they can kind of work the corners and work it up and down and then mix in a couple off-speed pitches for strikes. So
I don't know why it is, but it's not a packed stadium, and it won't be, mm-hmm. You know, except there'll be a lot of people here for Nebraska. But I've just got this feeling, and I've got this feeling over the last couple, 3 years, that no matter what the sport is, Nebraska fans would much rather root for Minnesota than Michigan.
I think so. I hope so. I hope so tonight. I hope there's a strong showing. Maybe a couple of them will stick around for the game. So,
well, we wish you the best of luck, Alex. Hopefully it's a good weekend for you and the Golden Gophers. Thanks for the time, man.
I appreciate it a lot. Thanks. Take care.
Best of luck.
Thank you.
That is tonight's starting pitcher for the Minnesota Golden Gophers, Alec Crawford. He has been named a third-team All-Big Ten. He's the conference pitcher of the week after an outstanding performance against Indiana last time out. We will take a break here as we are in the bottom of the ninth inning. It is 2-1 Michigan State. But Illinois is down to their last out there, trying to find a way to make something happen here at the Big Ten Baseball Tournament. Dan Hoppen, Husker Online, and a lot more when we return.
Today, buyers need the OneRocky.com edge. Finding out first is what gives you the best chance of finding the right home. Kearney's best real estate website just got better with customized listing notifications sent right to your email. As soon as a new listing meeting your criteria becomes available, you'll be notified. Log on to OneRocky.com and get signed up now.
Yo, this is Rocky. My customized listing service is not junk email. We don't even collect data. It's just my way of putting you first in the hunt for the right home.
Put Rocky Geyser in your corner because he cares.
OneRocky.com.
Who likes contracts? Whether it's your gym membership or cell phone service, nobody likes contracts, right? That's why you should choose Prairie iNet. They offer amazing internet service and you never, never have to sign a contract. You will get fast, reliable service for streaming video, playing online games, and social media. They're locally based with local people, local support, and local pricing. And there is no risk with their 30-day money-back guarantee. Remember, no gimmicks, no contracts with Prairie iNet.
To sign up for Prairie iNet, call 308-224-2309. 224-2309.
Hastings Physical Therapy, the standard for excellence in one-on-one care, is proud to offer Hastings' first and only on-site aquatic therapy pool featuring state-of-the-art heated therapy pool technology with private locker rooms. Providers to Hastings College, The Danger, and South Central Nebraska. Make us your choice when you need physical therapy. Open 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. and conveniently located next to Applebee's on Osborne Drive West. Visit HastingsPhysicalTherapy.com to tour all of our services or call 402-462-2665.
Play ball!
Great fielding and solid hitting start with the right stuff from TM Sporting Goods. Choose from brands like Louisville Slugger, Rip It, Mizuno, and Wilson. All the summer sports are made better with the right apparel and equipment from TM Sporting Goods.
Save!
Then roll in the expertise provided by Steve Varinall and Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods on the Bricks, downtown Kearney, a division of Protein Design. Every sport done right.
Fresh off a successful three-game road trip, the Nebraska Danger hosts conference rivals Colorado Ice in another exciting IFL Indoor Professional Football League match. It's Military Night in a special Thursday night 7 p.m. game at the Heartland Event Center, presented by Copycat. Get your tickets now at the Heartland Event Center box office, area pump and pantries, or via Ticketmaster. The final Danger points total is your pump and pantry fuel discount on Sunday with the coupon from the game. Mean and green in 2014, Danger Football fueled by Pump and Pantry. Visit DangerFootball.com.
And welcome back to the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Glad to have you along with us, where Game 1 of the 2014 Big Ten Baseball Tournament has come to an end as Illinois pops out to short with the tying run at first, and it's Michigan State 2, Illinois 1, 2 runs, 6 hits, and an error for Michigan State, 1 run, 7 hits, 2 errors for Illinois, and one of those errors was pretty costly, even though it wasn't a, you know, it was one of those errors where the pitcher comes off the mound for Illinois, tries to field the bunt, his plant foot as he turns slips, he falls, he can't make the play. It eventually ends up leading to bases loaded and a double play ball, but with nobody out, the run scored, and that was the difference. Michigan State's solo home run in the first, getting that fielder's choice double play run in the fifth, and Illinois scoring with a bases loaded walk in the third, and that's it. 2-1, your final score. Michigan State will now advance on to play the Nebraska-Ohio State winner tomorrow at 5 o'clock. And Illinois will be right back tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. to take on the Nebraska-Ohio State loser. So again, we've talked about it so far this week. We liked Michigan State. We knew that you don't want to see Illinois' pitcher tomorrow in Duchesne. Illinois will probably be a favorite tomorrow no matter who they play, Nebraska or Ohio State. They showed last week that Duchesne could come out and beat Nebraska, and they did it in Lincoln 5-1. So I think that puts even more pressure on Nebraska this afternoon at 1 o'clock to take care of Ohio State. All those games earlier in the year were one-run games. Nebraska had a couple of amazing comebacks, and you have to wonder, and we didn't really get into that with Coach Beals from Ohio State, who joined us yesterday, that was early in the season, how much wind did that take out of the Buckeyes' sails? Because Nebraska and Ohio State were 2-3 in the preseason coaches poll behind Indiana. It was an early season series that was a sweep for Nebraska. I'm sure had it gone the other way, which it very easily could have. Coach Erstad talked about it with us midway through the season, how a couple of those series had multiple games that could have went either way, and a lot of them worked out in Nebraska's favor. But what if Ohio State doesn't take it on the chin? And the way they did, it wasn't like they got beat 6-1 and 4-2. I mean, Nebraska scratched out in that last game wearing the camo uniforms. They were down, should have lost that baseball game, and scratched it across with a variety of runs in the last inning to win that game against Ohio State. And then the Buckeyes were never really the same after that. They get another crack today, and they throw the Big Ten Freshman of the Year, not just the Freshman Pitcher of the Year. He was named overall the Freshman of the Year in Tanner Tully. And our pregame begins at 12:30 on 12:30 a.m. KHAS, and we will have all of that for you with right next door to us here at TD Ameritrade Park is Greg Sharp and Ben McLaughlin. We'll have the call on that for you today on 12:30 a.m. KHAS. Some other sports that we want to get to from the day, and again, when we were talking to Alec Crawford there, we were talking a little bit about baseball and the state baseball tournament. Wanted to give you the final details on Grand Island and their 9-4 victory. They have John Omaha Creighton Prep tonight at 7 o'clock, it looks like, because there were a couple of different scenarios with who's left. They beat Creighton Prep in the opening round, but with who's left in the tournament, that is how things have to play out. So that is the game tonight, Grand Island and Creighton Prep playing at 7 o'clock. That's at Sherman Field, not at Haymarket Park. So there you have it for baseball. State tennis gets going tomorrow. Class A here in Omaha up at Tranquility Park. Class B, of course, as always, at the complex in Lincoln. And there are quite a few area athletes, whether it's singles or doubles, that have a chance to go deep in this state tournament. Starting with Class A, you've got Kearney's Jaden Trimble at the number one single. She's the 6th seed. Allie Richardson of Grand Island, the 10th seed. Number one doubles, it's Haley Limbaugh and Paige Bacora of Kearney, the 8th seed. Josie Scarborough and Megan Schuler of Grand Island, the 11th seed. In the number two singles, Faith Kowalski of Kearney, a 4 seed, and Caitlin Richardson of Grand Island, an 8 seed. And then the Kearney number two doubles team of Josie Kratzenstein and Vanessa Bonsberger, they are the number one seed at number two doubles. So in the show today, in less than an hour, we have mentioned co-host Jim Langen's young son and now Monty Kratzenstein's daughter. Best of luck to all of those athletes. Then over in Class B, at the number one singles, Sadie Gehring of Grand Island Central Catholic, the number two seed. Michelle Messbarger of Kearney Catholic, the number three seed. You've also got Hannah Ostra of Lexington and Annie Allman of Holdridge seeded. The number one doubles team in Class B is the undefeated pairing of Shayla Connor and Morgan Studi of Kearney Catholic. They were the runner-up last year. Kelsey Flaherty and Catherine Golka of Central Catholic are the number three seed. Obermeyers of Holdridge are the 7 seed, and O'Meara and Schultze of Lexington are the 9 seed. In the Class B number two singles, Hannah Knapp of Hastings, the 3 seed, Emma Riley of Central Catholic, the 5 seed. You've also got Fadig of Lexington and Kidder of Holdridge that are in the top 12. And finally, Class B number two doubles, Claire Hamburger, Morgan Nicola of St. Cecilia are the 3 seed, Amanda Fay, Sarah Vaughn of Central Catholic, the 4 seed. Hastings, Bartunik, and Landel, the number 7. Hoosman and Shundoff of Kearney Catholic, the number 8. And Holman and Allen of Lexington, the number 12 seed. They play it all the way through the quarters tomorrow, and then the semifinals and championship and consolation matches will be played on Friday. Again, state track also gets underway on Friday. We will have action for you on our network of stations. Mike will be there with updates throughout the day on Friday and Saturday on all of our stations. So hopefully you can follow along with what is going on at the state track meet. And again, action gets underway on Friday morning. This year, classes B and D will begin at 9 a.m. and classes A and C are at 3:30 this year, with all class finals coming up on Saturday, with the first running event beginning at 9:30. We also have state golf next week. We'll be talking more about that in the upcoming days because it's Memorial Day. Instead of playing on Tuesday and Wednesday, they'll give them Tuesday for the practice rounds and then Wednesday and Thursday, the actual state golf tournament coming up next week. Jordan Cornish, who had committed to Tennessee, then they had the coaching change in men's basketball, had Nebraska, Wake Forest, and UNLV among his final destinations. But yesterday, the 6'6 wing from New Orleans announced that he is going to go to UNLV, Nevada, Las Vegas. So Nebraska still has two vacant scholarships for the upcoming season. Nebraska had initially shown interest in former Missouri and California transfer Ricky Krecklau, but he's no longer out there, according to reports. So right now, the Huskers have Georgetown fifth-year transfer Moses Ayegba and incoming freshman Jacob Hammond and Terrence Smith as the spring signing period wraps up today. So we'll see if anything happens there with Coach Tim Miles and his crew. And we really didn't bring this couple of things up either. Minnesota, they get the Super Bowl. Guess we should have asked Alec about that, but I doubt he'll be around for that. He wants to be playing baseball. But Minnesota in 2018 has picked up the Super Bowl, which will be in their new facility. And also, this has been getting some publicity since the weekend, Lucy Lee becomes the youngest player to qualify for the U.S. Women's Open by winning the sectional qualifier. The young golfer won it by 7 shots and at 11 years old will be competing in the U.S. Women's Open at Pinehurst on June the 19th. My goodness, shooting 74 and 68. Andy's in studio here from Midway Auto Dealerships. Going to chat with him here as we get ready to go into our sports break, and then we'll be back at TD Ameritrade Park. Talk with Dan Hoppen of Husker Online. Get you closer to the Nebraska-Ohio State game at 1 o'clock. First game here at TD Ameritrade. Michigan State beats Illinois by a score of 2-1. More for the Big Ten Baseball Tournament coming up in just a couple of minutes here on the Doug and Daddy Show, where action continues. But right now, Andy from the Midway Auto Dealership with us to talk about the Memorial Day sales event and everything else that's going on here in the month of May. What's up? Are you jacked? You ready for the game?
Yeah, we are. It's been a fantastic month so far, and we're really kind of starting to get into the meat and potatoes of the month. And, you know, like we've kind of been talking about all month, there's a lot of things going on in May. I mean, and this week is no different. State track, Big Ten Baseball Tournament, Memorial Day weekend. All this good stuff. But the one thing that's been constant up at the Chevrolet store has been the Drive a Chevrolet in May. It's absolutely fantastic. It just goes right in line with that Memorial Day sales event that we have going on. And the great part is that GM's never had a better lineup. They never had better product. They never had more fuel-efficient product. They've never had more reliable product. Wonderful warranty. If you haven't had a chance to come take a look at those 14 Silverado light duties or also the 2015 heavy duty Silverados, you really need to come see them in person. They've got some great options to purchase, and they've also got some great options to lease. And then when you go ahead and throw in the fact of the Spark, the Sonic, the Cruze, the Malibu, the Impala, the Volt, all these great fuel-efficient vehicles. There's a lot of different options out there. And I know that fuel efficiency economy is going to be big for a lot of people. It's big for me. Doesn't matter what I drive, where I'm at. I know that I have a budget and I know how much money I can spend. And then, you know, we're also talking about getting into the family time of the year. You know, you're talking about the vacations and, you know, something me and you know really well about, you know, all of our kids and stuff. But, you know, it is, you know, that's something that, you know, that's one of the things that I've had to kind of adopt over the last 5 years is, you know, I'm technically for tax purposes a single guy. I don't have any kids and, you know, but I'm big on minivans. You know, I'm big on Traverses. I'm big on Tahoes, Suburbans. There's a need for that. Maybe not for me personally, but you start to recognize that and you understand. You start taking a look around. You say, man, when it comes to full-size SUVs and crossovers, General Motors really has got it going on. Great fuel efficiency, no matter if it's a Buick Enclave, no matter if it's a Chevrolet Traverse, the all-new, completely redesigned Tahoes and Suburbans. I could go on forever and ever, but the best thing that I could tell you is, folks, you need to just get on down, come see Heath Phillips, Darren Sprague, and the gang up there at the Chevrolet store. And why don't you go ahead and do this too? Make sure you get in there on Saturday. We're going to be closed on Sunday on Memorial Day, so I want everybody to know that. And come take advantage of the great Memorial Day sales event we got going on at Midway Chevrolet.
And it's all there, South 2nd Avenue and thinkmidway.com. Andy, we'll talk tomorrow. Enjoy your day.
Will do.
We'll be back with more on the Doug and Daddy Show for the Big Ten Baseball Tournament after this.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
ESPN Superstation. station, SportsCenter.
Good afternoon, I'm Mike Will, the SportsCenter update on ESPN. The Nebraska men's basketball team still has two scholarships left for the coming season after New Orleans wing Jordan Cornish picked UNLV over the Huskers in Wake Forest on Tuesday. The 6'6", 215-pounder from Brother Martin High averaged 20.9 points and 10.7 rebounds per game last season. He was the MVP of the Louisiana State High School Coaches All-Star Game. Kearney Runza beat Hastings 5 points bank 5-3 last night at the Smith Complex. Hastings had the bases loaded in the final inning but could not score. Chris Langen was the winning pitcher. Mason Spolnick took the loss. Braden Valentine had two of the 5 hits for Hastings. Hunter King had a pair of hits for Kearney. Alex Panganiban was a starter for Hastings. He went 4 innings and gave up 2 runs and 5 base hits. Panganiban walked 1 and struck out 1. Hastings head coach Russ Kindig.
No, really happy. The plan coming in was probably throw him at least one time through their order. He was doing, pitch count was down. Felt good. He was getting all his pitches across, so we went with him a little bit longer. Came back with Mace, and you know, other than leaving a couple of off-speed pitches up, he pitched great too, I thought.
Hastings is now 0-1 in the season. They'll play at Pleasantdale on Friday. Kearney Post 52 scored 6 runs in the 7th inning to beat Hastings Johnson Imperial Homes 11-9 last night. Hastings had a 7-0 lead after just 2 innings. Noah Huddleston led Kearney with 3 base hits. Blaine Dreher and Cole Maurer had 2 hits apiece for Hastings. Johnson Imperial Homes now 0-1 in the season. They'll play a doubleheader at McCook tonight. Tom Seated Omaha Westside beat Grand Island 9-4 last night in the winner's bracket final of the Class A state tournament in Lincoln. Grand Island now 19-7. They will play Omaha Creighton Prep in the elimination game at 7 o'clock tonight. The Islanders beat the Jays 11-3 in the opening round on Saturday. That's a sports update on ESPN. I'm Mike Will.
Tubbs Pub in Sumner, where the food is just like mom makes without the cleanup, would like to take the time to say congratulations and best of luck, seniors, to the class of 2014. Best of luck in all your tomorrows.
Zorb Farms would like to congratulate the 2014 seniors and thank the teachers and coaches for all they do for these great kids. Best of luck in all your future endeavors from Zorb Farms.
Pleasanton Irrigation, your Zomatic Pivot dealer in Pleasanton, would like to take this time to congratulate the seniors of 2014 and wish them the greatest happiness on their road to success.
Attention golfers, the finest course in central Nebraska is at Indian Head Golf Club. The most complete facility in the area offers fantastic golf, GPS systems, a full-line pro shop, and apparel and equipment from Nike, Titleist, Callaway, plus your favorite refreshments. Youth golf programs are offered to help them develop golf skills and work ethics. Indian Head's golf card program gives you 2 or 6 free rounds of golf with your card purchase. Go to IndianHeadGolf.com for more information or to book your tee time. No one offers more for your golfing pleasure than Indian Head Golf Club, West Husker Highway, Grand Island.
Doug and Daddy Show rolling on from TD Ameritrade Park as we are an hour away from Nebraska and Ohio State in the Big Ten Baseball Tournament. Already today, Michigan State has edged Illinois by a score of 2-1. So Michigan State advances in the winner's bracket, 5 o'clock tomorrow. Illinois right back tomorrow in an elimination game at 9 a.m. If Nebraska wins, they get Michigan State at 5. If they win again, they have a 9 a.m. game on Saturday, so kind of keep that in mind if you're looking for Memorial Day weekend festivities. Whoever comes out of tomorrow's 5 o'clock game will play at 9 a.m. on Saturday, and if there's 2 games out of that bracket, then it will be played again at 5. So Saturday, there is the possibility of 4 games, and there's the possibility of 2 games, depending on how it all plays out. Again, the bracket is just like the College World Series. You've got 8 teams, but they're put into 2 4-team brackets, and they battle that out. Indiana, the overwhelming favorite in that second bracket, where they will play Iowa at 5, and then Minnesota will take on Michigan. Again, tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show, we're going to catch up Kevin Kugler of the Big Ten Network and Lincoln and Omaha's own will join us ahead of the first game tomorrow. So he'll join us right off the top of the broadcast tomorrow. We'll also be talking with Nate Rohr of the Nebraska softball. He'll get ready to call the first game of the Super Regional at Alabama tomorrow. We'll find out a little bit more about the Huskers' chances down there at Alabama after making it to the Women's College World Series last year. And then after dropping the first game of regionals this year, the run that they were able to put on. Let's take a look at a couple of the other sports notes, and then we'll chat with Dan Hoppen from, of course, Husker Online and what's going on with everything in Big Red and Big Ten baseball country. But if you're a soccer fan, you got to, well, if you're a sports fan in general, you got to have a kind of a gut feeling, sick to your stomach feeling for what happened to the young man from Gretna last night. Columbus SCOTUS in the Class B Boys Soccer Championship. If you didn't see the highlight, SCOTUS and Gretna go to overtime in a scoreless game. And then SCOTUS wins it 1-0 as Gretna gets an own goal. They're trying to clear the ball out of their box, and it deflects off one of the teammates and goes into his own goal. So nobody really scored yesterday for their own team, but that's how Gretna's season comes to an end. They lose an overtime to SCOTUS in the state championship 1-0. And then Lincoln Southwest, who picked them to win the Class A Boys Soccer Championship? That's right, probably nobody. Kearney had their looks at Southwest this year. Grand Island, their looks at Southwest this year. And Southwest finishes the year 18-1 with their first ever boys soccer state championship over Omaha Westside 1-0. So a lot was made about Creighton Prep and Omaha South. Neither one of them even got to the finals, let alone win the state soccer championship. So soccer now in the books for another season. Other sports notes to pass along to you here before we get to Dan. Is the Nebraska Danger home tomorrow night. It's a quick turnaround. They won all three games on the road. They are 9-2, and it's a key game with that five-game winning streak on the road altogether, taking on the 7-3 Colorado Ice. It is also Military Appreciation Night and Schools Out Bash for area elementary school students. Jameel Sewell has been red hot, the reigning IFL Most Valuable Player. Well, a week ago was the Player of the Week. He has been putting up touchdowns at an incredible rate. They seem to be very healthy. And the Nebraska Danger, again, we could see a rematch of last year's United Bowl here next month in the IFL Championship as the Danger continued to play very, very well. Well, if you're getting ready for lunch, folks, or anytime, they're open 7 days a week. Finally got some beautiful weather to enjoy the courtyard as well. But Cunningham's Journal, the Lofton Courtyard, is the place to be to enjoy summertime activities. Whether you want a great meal, lunch like a burger, pizza, this isn't bar food. This is half-pound burgers. These are the Juicy Jacks. These are the Juicy Lucy's. You can get an individual pizza. You can get a pizza for the whole crew. They've got salads. They've got great appetizers. If you're not all that hungry or if you're just sitting back, watch a little Big Ten baseball later today. You're having some of your favorite refreshments. You get the munchies. They've got more than enough to take care of you. Also, they also have a lot of entertainment, not only on the weekends, but they'll pop that in on Wednesdays. And now with the courtyard open all summer long, just about every night, there's a different brand or different type of entertainment. Some are some big-time acts that are just moving through the Midwest. Others are local acts that you've heard and loved for a long, long time. And don't forget, every Wednesday, the lunch special, 8 delicious wings for only $5. And on Thursday, a beer and pub burger for only $6.49. Well, the Big Ten baseball tournament gets underway tomorrow. Jam-packed, as we said, we'll be down at Omaha. Daddy Show, TD Ameritrade, and hopefully everything works out for a great baseball tournament, which this year is expanded to 8 teams. And to join us here on the Doug and Daddy Show today to talk about the field and talk about Nebraska's baseball season to this point is Dan Hoppen from HuskerOnline.com. Dan, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well, Doug. How are you?
Well, it's time to watch some more baseball. I want to ask you right off the bat the same question I started the show off with yesterday. How good is this Nebraska baseball team? They have played so many one-run games and have been very successful in those close games. And boy, I mean, just 50-50 in those, and you're looking at Nebraska tumbling down the board here in the Big Ten. You've watched them as much as anybody. I want your assessment of the Huskers going into the tournament.
I think they're a pretty good team. And I think, you know, when you mention those one-run games, you know, there's some luck that's involved with that. And generally, you know, year to year, you're not able to keep that up. You kind of see that, kind of measure out over time, even out over time a little bit. But at the same time, you know, there's something to be said about being very good in close games. And I think Nebraska, with the way its bullpen has been lately, they've done a great job. Their defense has been very good, and they've come up with clutch hits at the end of the game. So I think, you know, there is a reason why they're winning these one-run games, and that's because they've stepped up in these clutch situations, and that's, you know, some people argue, you know, whether clutch matters or if there's a clutch gene or whatever, and I don't know. I put a little stock into it. I think there's certain guys that, you know, manage to step up in those situations. I think Nebraska's found some who have done that this year. That being said, you know, we have seen some periods of inconsistency with this team. So, you know, it's tough to go all in on them, but I think they're playing about their best baseball of the year right now, and I think it'd be a bad move to bet against them at the moment.
Yeah, you look at the only guy that's really got him here the last couple of weeks, and he was a freshman All-American in Duchesne. I guess that has to say something for the way this team's playing heading into the tournament.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I mean, the offense is, it hasn't been tremendous lately, but they've also been facing some really good pitching, and it's going to be fascinating to watch them in the first round against Ohio State. They face Tanner Tully, who's a true freshman, but the guy is an absolute stud. Only had 6 walks all season long. He's got a 2.08 ERA. He's a lefty, which lefties have given Nebraska problems over the years. So I think, you know, we're not sure who's going to start for Nebraska. My money would probably be on Chance Sinclair. I think we'll find that out later today. But yeah, I'm very excited to see that matchup because I think it figures to make for a great game.
Dan Hoppen of Husker Online joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Talk a little baseball, Huskers and Big Ten. Dan, 26 of the RPI in your article, and we told folks to take a look at that yesterday. That should have the Huskers in. In your mind, are they in no matter what happens this week?
I would think so. I think it would be, you know, even if Nebraska lost their first 2 games, didn't win a single game in the Big Ten tournament, I still think that they would be pretty well set for an at-large bid. I would be very surprised if they didn't make it. Either way, I think Nebraska is probably going to win at least 1, if not 2 or 3, you know, maybe even 4 games in this tournament, and they're going to solidify that spot. And I think right now Nebraska is probably, my guess would be they'd be looking at a 3 seed in a regional somewhere. Maybe if they get really hot and either get to the championship final or even, you know, maybe beat Indiana and win this thing, they could move up to a 2 seed. But I think right now I'd be feeling pretty good about Nebraska's odds of making the postseason if I were them.
You kind of answered my next question. I was going to say, what's at stake here in the tournament? So the answer is whether they're a 2 or a 3 seed possibly?
Yeah, I think that's definitely something that's at stake. But, you know, also I think there's kind of not that I don't think they would be necessarily disappointed not to win the Big Ten tournament, but there's kind of, you know, that feeling of taking the next step and maybe, you know, dethroning a team like Indiana, which is so incredibly talented. I think that would just do wonders for their confidence. You saw this team last year, which was not as good of a team as it is this year, take Indiana to the brink and, you know, have an opportunity to knock off the champs. Now, if Nebraska could take that next step and, you know, kind of upset the Hoosiers and leapfrog them, I think that would just do wonders for their confidence and really give this program a boost, not only on the field, but also in recruiting moving forward.
Talk with Dan Hoppen of Husker Online in kind of a quirky deal here, I guess. The advancement or the making the tournament bigger here, going from 6 to 8 teams, I guess you could look at it actually is going to hurt Nebraska because if there was only 6 teams, the first 2 teams got a bye, and if Nebraska won the first game, they'd get Indiana. The only way they're going to play Indiana now is if they survive at least 3 wins in their section. So good news, bad news right now from Nebraska's standpoint that this tournament went to 8 teams?
Well, I mean, you know, I think you can look at it both ways. Obviously, you know, Nebraska would like the bye, especially kind of with the, you know, the questions surrounding Christian DeLeon's arm right now. If he's able to go, then Nebraska's got pretty 4 solid starters. If he's not, then, you know, you're down to 3, and obviously the less games you can play, you know, that probably favors you. But at the same time, when you're adding more teams, I mean, if it was only a 6-team tournament, then a team like, you know, Ohio State wouldn't even be in it. And that Nebraska's opponent, you know, that's probably an easier opponent than, say, a Michigan State or a Michigan, which are the teams above them. So I think you can look at it both ways. You know, Nebraska would certainly, you know, like to have that bye, but at the same time, you know, they're going to go out and play regardless. Sterner said going to have this club ready to go. I really don't think that they're any too concerned either way, how many teams are in the tournament, whether they get a bye, any of that stuff.
Dan, what about the tournament as a whole? I'm reading some of your opinions, and you're skinny on each one of the teams out there. Let's start with Ohio State. We'll go from there. Nebraska swept Ohio State, but they were 3 1-run games on their home turf. You already talked about Tanner Tully, the starting pitcher. What else makes Ohio State dangerous for the Huskers in this first game?
Well, they're one of those teams that you look at their stats, and they don't really stand out. They're in the, as far as the Big Ten statistics go, they're kind of a middle-of-the-pack hitting team, middle-of-the-pack pitching team, middle-of-the-pack fielding team, but they're very talented. They're a much more talented team than their record lets on. I think that they've underachieved probably a good deal this year, but the thing that's dangerous about underachieving talented teams is if they get it figured out at the right time, they can make a run. And I certainly think that this Ohio State team, you know, could be one that qualifies there, especially with Tanner Tully on the mound. Like I mentioned, that the kid's an absolute stud, and he gave Nebraska a lot of problems the first time. So, you know, while this is a first-round game, while Ohio State, they were only 4 games over .500 on the season, they were 10-14 in the Big Ten. You know, neither of those numbers are very impressive. I think this is a team that Nebraska, they won't overlook them, but they absolutely can't overlook them because there's a lot of talent on this squad, and they can give Nebraska some problems.
Who's the best team that has a chance of making a note? You kind of touched on a little bit in your article. Who could be this year's Nebraska? And outside of Indiana, Nebraska, you got your 3-8 teams. I like the way Michigan State was going. I really thought that was going to be problems for the Huskers, but you got somebody different that you think might be able to upset the apple cart here a little bit?
I was actually – Michigan State was going to be one of the teams that I was mentioned. I would say either them or Illinois if a team kind of was to make, you know, a semi-magical run, score some upsets, and maybe even at least, you know, get to the final game on Sunday. It would still very much surprise me if either of those teams did that, but I think if you're looking at maybe some dark horse teams outside of Indiana and Nebraska, I would put my finger on Illinois and Michigan State. Obviously, you know, we just saw Illinois this past weekend down at Haymarket Park. They're a very talented team. They've got some great pitching. They run the base paths incredibly well, steal a lot of bases, so they're going to be a dangerous squad. And then Michigan State, like I mentioned, kind of with Ohio State, they're another team that has a lot of talent that just hasn't really figured it out. And I think it's very telling that before Nebraska played that Michigan State series, we were talking to Darren Erstad about the Spartans, and he said that he'd had that series circled on his calendar from the beginning of the year, which that's very odd for him to say, because normally he, you know, says every game is just the same, you know, he doesn't value one more than the other, but that he was looking forward to that series, I think says a lot about the talent that Michigan State has and the ability that they have. Now, they haven't shown that at all times this year, and they've definitely had some moments that have been very disappointing. But they are, you know, kind of like I mentioned with Ohio State, they're a team where if they got some things figured out and maybe got hot in a couple areas, they could make a run.
All right, last minute here with Dan Hoppen, Husker Online. Baseball America has Nebraska ranked 20th this week, and Indiana has climbed all the way back up to number 9 after being 3rd in the preseason. I don't know the last time two Big Ten teams were ranked in the top 20 of a baseball poll. Is that it? Do any of these other teams, I mean, Illinois is 3, do they have to really make a statement this weekend, or will it just be Indiana and Nebraska in the NCAA tournament unless someone goes out and wins the conference tournament?
I think it's probably just going to be Indiana and Nebraska. Illinois right now is sitting with an RPI of 52, which normally if you have an RPI of 45 or better, that's kind of, you know, that cutoff that you're looking for the NCAA tournament. I mean, that's not set in stone, but that's kind of usually if you got a better one than 45, you're feeling pretty good. If you're lower than 45, then, you know, you're on the bubble and you're worried a little bit. So if Illinois was able to come out and win 3 or 4 games and put on an impressive show in the Big Ten tournament, you know, maybe they would be able to leap up a little bit and at least be on that fringe there. But I think you're kind of looking at Indiana and Nebraska as the two solid teams that are going to be playing in the postseason. And Illinois is that one that might be left on the outside looking in as one of those last teams that gets left out.
Last question, Dan. If there's a spot that would be favorable for Nebraska to go to a regional besides what the weather accommodations would be, is there a team or two out there? Have you looked that far down the road, one of these top 12 teams that Nebraska might match up well with?
I don't know. I mean, I'm not – I don't really usually look too far into the future like that. I kind of like to see how things settle out. I'll probably look at that a little bit more, you know, after we see what Nebraska does and what we see, you know, from some of these other teams in their conference tournaments, so we have a better idea. I haven't looked, you know, as far as the national seedings and which would, you know, match up best with Nebraska yet. I'll probably spend a little bit more time with that after this week.
All right, Danny. Hey, we'll let you get back to work. We'll see you in Omaha at the tournament this week, and always appreciate the time on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Absolutely, Doug. Have a good one.
Listen closely. This could be the greatest value in all of fooddom, and it's so big, you can't ignore it. Right now, KFC has $5 fill-ups. You can get completely filled up for only $5. And there are five, yes, five different $5 fill-ups to choose from, like a two-piece chicken combo, mashed potatoes, gravy, biscuit, cookie, and a drink. Are you truly hungry for a $5 fill-up? Then come to KFC, put your $5 bill on the counter, and say, yes, I'm truly empty. Choose a KFC $5 fill-up, then eat and enjoy only at KFC. Go to KFC in Hastings, Kearney, and Grand Island. Tax extra.
Thanks, Dan. Dan Hoppen of Husker Online. We caught up with him this week to talk about Nebraska baseball and a variety of Big Ten baseball and other topics here on the Doug and Daddy Show. The Huskers have taken the field here at TD Ameritrade Park for a warm-up infield, and then they'll turn it over to Ohio State, and we're still about 40 minutes away from baseball here between Nebraska and Ohio State. You'll hear it live on 1230 KHAS. Again, the game is not televised, so keep that in mind. The game not televised today. The evening games will be 5 o'clock, Indiana and Iowa, and then Minnesota and Michigan, which will follow at approximately 9 o'clock. Those games will be televised. Again, the first game today, Michigan State 2 and Illinois 1. Michigan State, 2 runs, 6 hits, 1 error. Illinois, 1 run, 7 hits, and 2 errors. Michigan State getting a solo home run to lead off the game from Cam Gibson at the top of the first. And then their other run came after a couple of infield bunts. One was ruled an error. The pitcher slipped trying to throw it to first, so that put runners at first and second with nobody out. Then a successful bunt down the third baseline, beat it out, bases loaded, nobody out. Michigan State then grounds into a double play, but it was a 6-4-3 double play, allowing the winning run to score in the fifth. No runs after that. Illinois could not scratch one across, although they did have runners on second and third later on in the ball game and could not get the tying or winning run across the plate. So Michigan State beat Illinois in the opening game today by a score of 2-1. Then later today, as we said, Indiana, Iowa at 5 and Minnesota, Michigan set to go at 9 o'clock. A couple of other updates here for you. Let's see how Michael Colgate is doing at the Division II Men's Golf Championships. He did get it under par on his round for a little while today. And in fact, he is still there, one under through the first five holes today. He is 6 over for the tournament, and that will get him to a tie right now for 14th place. So Colgate not only becoming the first Loper to ever compete in the D2 National Golf Championships, but he is representing the Lopers very well. He's hanging right in there. Again, the leaders still just getting off the tee box. The final group goes here in about 20 minutes up in Allendale, Michigan. The lead is at even par, so Colgate, unless he really does something special here, won't have a shot at that, but he looks like he will finish in the top 20 if he can keep this round together, which would be one whale of an accomplishment. We'll take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show from TD Ameritrade Park. Come back, wrap things up. Again, our 1230 AM KHAS has the pregame at 1230, so we'll be back and take you up to that after this timeout.
Minden's First Bank and Trust Company congratulates and offers their best wishes for the future to all the 2014 graduates. From Minden's First Bank and Trust Company, member FDIC, it's what you'd expect from a friend.
Bailey Drywall in Pleasanton is very proud of the class of 2014. You've worked hard to get where you are, and we support you on the road to your future. Celebrate responsibly.
The Bank of Bertrand thanks you for your business and congratulates the seniors this year. The Bank of Bertrand is your full-service hometown bank and invites you to stop in and see them for all your banking needs.
On our last episode of As the Wheel Turns, Carl was ending a long-term relationship.
Carl, I've seen how you look at other vehicles.
You just don't look as good as you used to.
That's because you haven't taken me to the Dent Popper. A new spray-on bed liner or bed cover will get people to stare at me. And custom-fit floor mats from WeatherTech will make me feel pretty on the inside.
Avoid the drama with a trip to the Dent Popper, north of the railroad, First Avenue, on the bricks, downtown Pawnee.
Fresh off a successful three-game road trip, the Nebraska Danger hosts conference rivals Colorado Ice in another exciting IFL Indoor Professional Football League match. It's Military Night in a special Thursday night 7 p.m. game at the Heartland Event Center, presented by Copycat. Get your tickets now at the Heartland Event Center box office, area pump and pantries, or via Ticketmaster. The final Danger points total is your pump and pantry fuel discount on Sunday with the coupon from the game. Mean and green in 2014, Danger Football fueled by Pump and Pantry. Visit DangerFootball.com.
This is Wayne. Wayne, tell everyone why you're talking like that. Because someone triple dog dared you to touch the side of a beer can from the Midtown Mart cooler with your tongue, and now it's stuck. That about covered? Wayne, by the way, no longer doubts that Midtown Mart has the coldest beer in town. Free ice and free carry out for Midtown Mart customers. The convenient liquor mart, Midtown Mart, on West 2nd and Hastings.
The Barn Candle Company candles are offered in 96 captivating fragrances. The essence of a delicate spring garden, the alluring blend of an ocean breeze, the simplicity and spice of the holidays, and even the wholesome aroma of freshly baked cakes and cookies are sensory experiences that charm us and reawaken pleasant memories. The Barn Candle Company discounted gift certificates are at shopwheelerdealer.com, and the savings start at a third off retail and work their way down with special offers and deals of the day.
Well, a lot of youngsters, if they're not out, they're getting out of school either today or tomorrow, so we'll wish you a happy summer vacation and hope all things go well this summer. The kids, I know, really getting geared up to get out of school. I know my niece has kindergarten graduation tomorrow, so that's a big deal. So we're all fired up about that. We will be back here at TD Ameritrade Park tomorrow for another day of the Doug and Daddy Show. The early game tomorrow will once again be Illinois taking on the loser of this Ohio State-Nebraska game, which is coming up at 1 o'clock on 1230 a.m. KHAS. And then tomorrow, the 1 o'clock game will be the loser of the second bracket. Indiana, Iowa, Minnesota, Michigan will be playing in that game as well. Michael Colgate has picked up another birdie as we are watching the scoreboard here, and so he is now plus five for the tournament, two under through seven holes on his round today, tied for 13th overall, currently five back of the leader at the D2 National Championships. Well, that is pretty much going to bring us to the end of today's Doug and Daddy Show. Again, best of luck to Grand Island as they continue on at the state baseball tournament tonight in Lincoln. To all the tennis athletes that will be competing in the girls' state tennis tournament, which gets going tomorrow here in Omaha for Class A and in Lincoln for Class B. We'll have more on the state track meet tomorrow. That gets underway Friday in Omaha. Again, B and D will be the early session, and then A and C won't begin until Friday afternoon at 3:30, and we'll have updates the whole time. Kevin Kugler of the Big Ten Network will join us. The voice of Nebraska softball, Nate Rohr, will join us tomorrow as well. Plus, we'll have a lot more from the coaches and players from today's games, especially from the Husker game against Ohio State. We do want to thank Dan Hoppen of Husker Online for joining us on today's Doug and Daddy Show. Alec Crawford, Minnesota starting pitcher. He is the Big Ten Pitcher of the Week. He's a third-team All-Big Ten Conference. Got the win against Indiana last week. Went out and pitched to eight innings of outstanding baseball in the win against Indiana, we should say. And again, he has started every Friday night game for Minnesota this year, and the only one that they have been beaten in was the one against Nebraska. So a heck of a run in the start of the series when Alec Crawford's on the mound. Also to UNK track and field coach Brady Bonzel there at the D2 National Championships up in Allendale, Michigan. For our producer-engineer, Jeff Babel, I'm Doug Duda from TD Ameritrade Park here in Omaha. We encourage you to either keep it here on ESPN Radio or to listen to Nebraska baseball. Switch it over to our sister station, 1230 AM KHAS, where Greg Sharp, Ben McLaughlin, and the crew are just about ready to get pregame activities underway next door to us, in fact, here at TD Ameritrade Ballpark. This is Doug Duda saying thanks for joining us, and we'll see you tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.